What is good, people, and welcome back to the Hype Report. Today, I have a very special guest, someone I've watched personally for a long time. He owns Payday Vintage, which is a big fuck-off vintage company, which he's probably made a lot of money from, which I'm very jealous from. He also has a very cool clothing brand. He knows a lot about the space, a lot about fashion, streetwear, the space in general. So welcome, Dom.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me on.
What's good, bro? How are we?
I'm good. Thank you for coming.
We now have to act like we haven't had any conversation pre-camera, which is kind of awkward, but... Yes, how's life? What's happening?
It's good. It's been very busy. I mean, Luckily with January, it's a little bit quieter, so you can like plan the whole year.
So tell the people, what do you do?
So I'm a fashion content creator, all started out on YouTube. It's called Payday Pickups. I then started a vintage clothing company, so it's Payday Vintage. We sell secondhand clothes, streetwear, sportswear, designer. Then I've got a clothing brand, piece I'm wearing right now, Episodes Sick. Project, a lot of tapestry stuff. I also do like a jewelry brand, so do rings, chains, called Ariri.
Doing the most, mate. Doing the most, man. I don't know how you do it, bro. I was just speaking before. I don't know how you have that amount of time in a day to kind of do multiple businesses, so many ventures.
It's basically building a team. It's like the same as yourself. Like you're just so busy all the time. I don't know how you juggle it. I mean, I still do struggle. It's just trying to get as organized as possible. Having a team, like a manager, and stuff like that.
Yeah, mate, time, man. I didn't realize until I started this job, time is, like, people always say time is money, right? So cringe. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? But now I get it, man. Like, time is so valuable.
Oh, it's so true.
It's so valuable. Even coming here today, I was like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do afterwards? I've got to do, like, multiple videos afterwards. I'm going to have to work until, like, I don't know, late and... But it's life,
isn't it?
It's a good price to pay, bro. It's the best job in the world, mate, but... Anyway, so let's talk about fashion. Let's talk about your brand first. How did you start your own brand?
So I originally had a first clothing brand. If you ever heard of it, it was called Ultra Pleats.
No.
So I did that
big
6 months. It was going really well. And I actually got sued by a brand in Selfridges. Got
a season. Sued by Selfridges?
Not of Selfridges. It's a brand in Selfridges. I can say the name if you can bleep it. Is that right?
Yeah, bro. Tell me.
All right. So I got sued by...
Okay, right, Aiden, make a note. I don't want to get in trouble.
So like they're like pleated trousers. So I always wanted them, but they're £310, these trousers.
Sick.
So I basically made like the Aldi version. Like I was like the Nor pack. So I basically kind of replicated the fit. Actually, no, I made it like a European fit. And I charged £55 instead of £310 for trousers.
Sick.
And like...
They took you down.
I think it was like 1,000 sales in like the first 5 months.
Wow. Wow, how much? You can probably say how much you're making now, right?
So,
or no?
And basically, so £55 per pair, and I sold over 1,000. If you want to work out the math.
Okay, yeah, that's decent, bro.
Decent money,
decent mate. That's crazy. So, I won't spend too much time talking about the lawsuit and shit. But did they just send you an email and then done?
So basically, it was like an 80-page document. So basically, they bought all my trousers, which I didn't know, and they've done like photo comparisons. But they were saying like stuff like they've got pockets. Like obviously, trousers have got pockets. And I was just
they
like,
bought all your
like the law firm, and I tried to fight the case because I was like, it's like Levi's and jeans, like. Do you know what I mean? Other brands can make jeans. They don't own denim.
Yeah.
And then I tried to fight it, paid a solicitor, but then it would have been every single reply would have cost $1,000.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Lawyers are so fucking expensive.
So I just would have, if I lost as well, I would have had to pay all their legal fees. So
That's how big brands can do it though. They send you a lawsuit and then they're like, they just buy you out. Like they like bankrupt you effectively.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Nike are doing it at the moment with, they're valid, by the way, but like Nike are doing it with, you see that thing about the TikTokers,
oh
the
rep my
TikTokers.
God. I saw that YouTuber where he sent the fake pair and returned the Air Force Ones.
I'm not entirely sure it went down, but I don't know how it's going either, but I feel a bit bad for him, you know? I feel bad for him, those guys.
I mean, to be fair, though, technically it was like fraud, but like...
Yeah, 100%. So for context, what's actually happened is Nike have issued a lawsuit to multiple replica content creators who basically make money through commission and like delegating, I don't know if delegating is the right word, but diverting traffic to PandaBuy links and like replica places, right, where people buy Fufu garms and clothes and shit like that. And Nike obviously stepped in and be like, nope. Yeah. Enough is enough.
It was like the whole time with them like bootleg Nike trainers, remember that?
Oh, mate. And you would know this, but the bootleg Nike jumpers, the vintage jumpers, aren't vintage, but they had like a massive swoosh on them. They were the popping like
that was 2020. They were probably one of the most popular products. People were paying more for the bootlegs than the real ones.
They did look fucking sick, but at the time I didn't really know anything about it because I didn't know much about vintage fashion then. I don't know much about it now, but I know a lot more. I know a bit more about it now. But yeah, back then people were paying crazy, bro. People were buying it off on Depop and like moving them for like 150 yeah. for like a hand stitch.
They were literally getting made for like, I mean, I know because it was in the market, like £8.
Fuck.
And people were selling for like, yeah, like 120 to 150.
That's crazy. But that's just like peak fashion trend though, isn't it? The perfect example of fashion trends. Questions. We're going to swiftly move on. So we spoke about your clothing brand episodes. Anything else you want to say about that? I mean, they are fucking sick, mate. I mean,
thank you very much.
Anyone who is watching on YouTube or like the visual version, I mean, you can see what Dom's rocking now. This is Fight Club.
Fight Club, Brad Pitt, Tyler Durden. And then it has a quote on the back as well.
Sick. And it's obviously got like this distressed neck. Would you say crew neck?
Frayed neck. Yeah, yeah. It's just that's to basically show the tapestry material. So basically it's made from like a rug.
Oh, and
then
dope.
So it goes from like a rug factory and they cut it up and then they turn it into clothing.
Damn, bro. That's sick, man. So how much that is?
This is £80.
80 quid. Damn, nice. It looks way more than that. And I saw, talking about fakes as well, I saw someone repped your...
Oh, rep the Frank Ocean one.
Yeah, was that it? That was it. Yeah?
So it's a good sign when people are making fake versions.
People have counterfeited your garms already.
Already.
Have you been going?
2 years now.
Damn. But you know what was interesting? I re-saw the Virgil quote about where he says like he fucking loves counterfeits.
Yeah.
But it shows that you're doing well.
100%.
And if people want to replicate it, fucking let them do it because more promo.
The bit I'm concerned though is like how are they, I actually want to buy it and see what actually arrives because surely they don't.
Where are they selling it?
It was from Hong Kong. It was drop shipping. They were selling it for like £25.
Damn, are you gonna do it? Are you gonna buy it?
I bought one, yeah.
Oh, nice. That's gonna
I bought one, I've got it taken down now. So applied online for someone from Fiverr. Got it taken down, but I still bought the piece, hopefully.
So you can take you took it down yourself?
So basically I paid someone on Fiverr. They somehow like, I don't know, appeal like copyright.
Okay. Yeah. I guess because it's on a Hong Kong the website and stuff. Okay. Dope, that's sick, man. So what else about episodes?
How on earth
did you start a clothing brand, bro?
So obviously I used a lot of what I learned from Ultra Pleats. And then my flatmate, Matt, the guy I do episodes with, he basically had like a theme page where he would just post like people's graphic designs, cool artwork. And then he grew it to like 50,000 followers.
Sick.
And then he came to me one day, he's like, I've got a sick idea. He's like, what do you think of like turning the concept into a clothing brand? He's like, there's so many talented graphic designers, they don't have a clue how to make clothing. He's like, you know how to make clothing. Why don't we just collaborate with new designers, give them a little episode, and then each one we make a new project.
Oh, that's sick, man. That's cool. I like that.
So this one was like a guy in Brazil who designed it. And then every single sale, he gets a commission. So you're also helping every time you support our brand.
You support an organic designer. Mate, that's sick, man. I love that. I have to buy one. No, I have to get gifted one.
You are going
to
get gifted.
Hashtag gifted, bro. Okay, what else are we saying? So... your other kind of major project, probably what you're known for the most, is Payday Vintage.
Yeah.
So that is a vintage resale company, which is huge.
Thank you.
And also, it's obviously your personal, the business YouTube channel of that.
Yeah.
I said that terribly, but tell me about Payday Vintage, bro.
So Payday Vintage started, I started out on YouTube doing like, basically going to charity shops and reselling on like Depop. Started realizing there's a market for it. Some of the YouTube channels called Payday Pickups, where every payday, show my pickups.
Mate, and then, I don't know why I never worked this out, man. I should have thought about this.
And then I was basically at uni, had like no money. And I was like, basically just started selling on Depop. And I realized people are buying secondhand clothes. So I was like, why don't I just set up a company rather than selling on Depop and losing the fees? So then set up Payday Vintage. Met another lad, just a random person online. I was basically messaging all people who had actual businesses saying, can I have your supplier? Obviously, everyone was just telling me to fuck off. And then one lad had a small following. And I was like, if we join together, I'll make videos, you have the supplier, and then we'll make a brand together and we'll both grow.
And now it's
big time.
Smashing. Barry, I remember Payday because I still buy on Depop all the time. But I used to buy from when the vintage stuff was trending, I used to go Depop like yourself. I think I bought quite a bit from yourself, but also Rick's Retro.
Yeah.
Well, there's loads of other big vintage resellers, right? And it was mate back then. But it's probably like lockdown, COVID time, right? That was best business, I imagine.
That was literally when the business like boomed because everyone wants to buy, has loads of money, the student loans, and it was just like comfy clothing, so like vintage sweatshirt.
Mate, everyone had so much money in lockdown, man. It was such a scam. I was like, I thought everyone was gonna be broke in lockdown, but it was such a smoke cloud. Everyone was bawling because of furlough and stuff like that. But how on earth did you build such a big brand like that?
Yeah, right? I think as well, it was just like, obviously social media just helped so much. I think by the time when obviously like Reels came out first, we just smashed them for the Instagram and then did really well. I think because it's just the aesthetic of like, they say them Nike sweatshirts.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now I think we've got like 230,000 on Insta.
Which is amazing for a business account that resells clothes. There's no face to it, right?
Yeah, no face.
That's sick, man. Like that's fucking sick. That's a problem. Excuse me. It's a problem I have with Kicksforce at the moment. Not an issue, but like Kicksforce is our like pre-loved sneaker store, e-com store. And I always get a bit confused. Like, I'm not sure where the marketing is. Because at the moment, it's just like me. But I want to get away from that as well. Because it's not me. It's not, there's multiple people.
But you are the brand there.
Yeah, I get that. I definitely. But at the same time, I don't just want it. But I don't want it to be just me. I want it to stand on its own.
Yeah.
And also, like, I'm not going to be, fingers crossed, I'm around for a long time. I'm popping for a while. But the reality is with social media, you just never know. So it's important to,
I think that's
to kind of, you know, I guess, balance it out. Anyway, more about you. You recently worked with Man United. How was that?
Yeah,
tell us about that.
So I'm actually an Arsenal fan as well, which is shocking. Shit. So I've been, it looks like I'm a Man United fan. But so they basically just want to help like a lot of small creators. Like they basically want a load of people to come to Man United and start shooting. And basically, you know how bloat core is massive nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
So they gifted me the third team kit. And I was like, let's just do a sick video because I want to like get in there with Man United. Because I basically want to get the football players in my clothes. Like Rashford, Garnacho, go on, you could wear that. And then, so I shot a sick video for basically the third team kit. And they posted it. They have like a fan page called We Are United.
Sick. It's got like I've seen that.
So they I did like a collab reel with me. And they loved it.
Oh, nice.
And then they were just like, do you want to come down to Man United in the box? And like have the like a free day in the box.
Oh, mate, that's sick,
they,
man.
They got spanked by Man United 3-0. And then, and then they just did for the women's derby. They wanted to try a new thing where we just got creative role. We got to go around the whole pitch, like pitch side, and just shoot whatever, go in the changing rooms. And it was sick.
That's so cool, man. How, I mean...
Oh, mate, it was amazing. Like, I think sometimes I'm like, because I love football. It's like, I used to want to be a football player.
Yeah.
And then obviously creating content for a football team as big as Man United is just insane. But I really just want to do the men's. That's like the main thing.
Yeah, that's sick, man. That's so cool. They did a fair play to them for doing that.
Yeah.
Like going to like the smaller creators, not like small creators, but like not massive, massive YouTubers like us TikTokers and social media, more social people. And asking for their kind of creativity. Because a lot of the people, well, at least I think I am, and you definitely are, but like not like traditional TikTokers. It's a lot that we make good quality content. Yeah. TikTok back in the day, a couple of years ago, maybe even like a year ago, was a lot more kind of like a bit shitty and a bit like low end quality. But now, bro, completely different.
Yeah, do you ever find that the low videos sometimes perform better?
Definitely. I mean, I don't do any low videos now though.
Yeah.
So now it is literally purely just high end quality stuff, high end production stuff. But that's because I'm not a massive, I'm a massive fashion guy, but I'm not a massive fashion aesthetic guy. Mm-hmm. So I don't do like proportions very well. I don't do outfit videos, get ready with me. I don't do shit like that. I don't have a problem with that at all. I think it's great that people do that. But for me, I can't, I'm not very good at that. So like my kind of, I like to think my USP is in the quality and storytelling of the fashion content.
Yeah, I think you smashed that.
And it's a bit of a USP. No one else really does it. Yeah. It's nothing unique because it's been going on YouTube for years. But in terms of like, yeah, I mean, TikTok and fashion, it's quite a big niche and no one really touches it too much.
Mm-hmm. And I think your editing style is perfect for your niche. Like you've hit, you know, the perfect thing for your audience.
Yeah, man. That's thanks to my editor, Ryan. Thank you so much for be watching. What else? What else? What else? We'll go a bit more into kind of like fashion streetwear now. So what, a bit more like kind of generic questions, but I'm curious to hear your kind of take on it. What is 2024 streetwear looking like?
2024 streetwear. So I think for the trends wise or just brands?
Just in general. So like in terms of, I guess, trends, what's going to be popular, but how do you feel about it? Yeah. Like how is streetwear right now?
So I think obviously Corti's just smashed the whole streetwear game. I think Supreme are making a big comeback, which is good to see.
Yeah, man.
I think the only thing that's failing, obviously, with streetwear is the reselling price has just like kind of plateaued.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of gives the light for like a few smaller brands to come up.
Yeah.
And I think like, obviously, you've seen the whole Timberland trend at the moment, Timberland boots. I feel like there's going to be a load of new boots coming about.
Yes.
And I think what's good as well, it kind of forces brands to be even more innovative and creative with their pieces, because nowadays there's obviously not as much hype behind the pieces now. So I think it's all about the design a lot more.
Oh, 100%, mate, 100%. I think it's interesting you mentioned the resale. The resale on big brands like Supreme is definitely nowhere near, it does a little bit. There's a odd piece a season or every other drop that moves well, but it's never like the piece that's expected to do well. And then in terms of like the general streetwear resale market, the smaller brands have so much more resale because they're obviously smaller units, smaller quality and quantity. High quality, but smaller quantity, which is an amazing trend, by the way. Mm. Sick that small brands can kind of, like what you boys do, like make like really high quality, cool shit. A few years ago, that probably wouldn't have been, I don't know, but I imagine it wouldn't have been that possible.
Yeah.
But anyway, the resale on smaller brands is popping right now because people want to support smaller brands again, which is a really, really sick trend because people are fed up with these big brands like Supreme. I know they've changed now, but a couple of years ago, pushing out the same shit, same designs. it was not the best quality in the world. Yeah. And you're charging £155, £140 or whatever it is for a hoodie.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, well, what is the point of me buying into this brand just for the hype when you can support a smaller brand with probably a cool, a more knit, tight-knit community?
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, I think it was ever since Supreme got bought out, I feel like.
Yeah, so that was 2020, yeah. And that was, what's it called? Something Corporation, what the fuck are they called?
I went to the headquarters.
Oh, yeah. They own Timberland.
Timberland, North Face.
They own everyone.
Yeah, everyone. Like, believe it. All yeah. Eastpak, Napa Giri, all yes, in the same
that's
building.
It, that's it.
It was in Switzerland, obviously, because it's tax-free.
Yeah, I see. How was that?
Oh, mate, it was incredible. So you got to go there, see all the offices.
Corporation.
Yeah, VF
Corporation, that's it.
Saw all the brands together, like they all work in the same office. It was incredible office, amazing experience.
Vans as well.
Yeah, Vans as well.
Yeah. So that's why Supreme always collaborated with Timberland Vans and North shit Face. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have these like concerts. It's so easy. We're like walk down the corridor and like, bro, I've got a new design, and it's just slapped on the desk. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think you're right in terms of talking about Supreme. I think you're probably right. It definitely did go. I don't know about downhill, but I mean, the owner of the brand, I don't think still works in, and it doesn't have any shares in it anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think, I could be wrong. It could be, I'm not like the OG Supreme guy, but, and yeah, I think he might still work for design and have overseas. Yeah. James Jebb has the oversees it a little bit, but I don't know what the ins and outs are anymore, but they're right. They're coming back, man. They're doing bits. I think they've had to overhaul everything.
Yeah.
The quality is much better. Designs are much better. And I really like where Supreme's going last year and this year. I think it's sick, man. And I've still been interested in it. So I'm one of the guys who can say they can rock it in 2024 because I was there when it was shit.
Yeah.
Well, I say I joined it like the hype, super hype period, like most people, like 2015, 2016. But what do you think about kind of UK, like hype UK streetwear then? Supreme, Palace, Cortez?
So what Cortez has done, they've shown, the thing I love about them, it's like so inspirational. They've shown that you can like achieve anything in a year. Like to collab with Supreme and Nike in 1 year is like,
yeah, that's mad.
How the fair play to Clint, man. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, he's sick, man. He's whatever, regardless, whatever you think of his persona or whatever, mate, but he has killed it, man. And he's done such a good job of kind of capturing like the youth, like the streetwear youth. And it's turned people into it. Like people have joined. It's like what happened in 2016, 2017, when people were like, oh shit, Supreme Palace is so hyped. Then they get into streetwear. They go into other subcultures. They go into other niches of fashion. And that's, I imagine, what's happened to kind of 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds who are obsessed with Cortez now. They're you know, they forever love the brand, but they're also going to go and explore other elements of streetwear, which will keep the UK streetwear scene flying, hopefully.
Yeah, that's what I think the main thing is. Like, I think community is such a big thing in streetwear. And obviously him, when he does, like, you know, the crossbar challenge to get the shoes, like, sick, it's so smart because it builds so much hype. And then, as you say, it's the gateway into the rest of the streetwear.
Mate, and also, bro, that guy, I don't know who was doing it before him, if there was anyone doing it before him, but obviously people were, but I don't know who was. But like, the password element on the website, bro. Everyone does it now, man.
Everyone
does it.
Is he not?
Yes, literally.
His marketing's so good.
Yeah, they're sick, man, as well. But everyone does this new password element on streetwear drops and fashion drops now. I mean, I've done it with my. Have you done it?
We've done it. We do it before a new drop, like a new drop, but we don't do it consistently because I feel like. We ain't got enough hype yet.
We're the same.
Yeah, like, if we got to that point, I would definitely would, but I was just worried if you tried to do it with, you didn't have enough hype, then you're kind of like telling yourself short.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We did it for Boxing Day and it broke our website. So our biggest drop
ever broke.
So, which is a really good problem, but everyone's fucking fuming, bro. I've never been held so much abuse in my life. but yeah, the password element is definitely crazy and Cortez have killed it. So in terms of trends, Timberlands. Footwear, sort of footwear trends.
Yeah.
Timberlands.
So I think personally, obviously the Wales Bonus.
Yes, I was about to say, you've got a pair on today,
I've got a pair on today. I'm
not cool enough to wear them, you see.
Well, mate, what do you mean? Yes,
I'm not
you
cool
could.
Enough to wear them.
Easily could wear them. Definitely.
I don't know. What do you think about that trend, the Wales Bonus trend?
Obviously, I love it because it's just like elevating, it's like not reinventing the wheel. It's like already getting an iconic silhouette and then just elevating it, which I think, it obviously it's got the history behind this amber. And then obviously she's just put her own elements on it. And she's not done too much, so it's actually accessible for everyone to wear. Some people go a bit too over the top with collabs. I think like they wreck it. But this one,
I always go back to Virgil with everything. But he did the same to a degree. Like the 3% rule, you only need to change if you're collaborating something like 3%. And that's what he did. So we've got them. Samba trend going to still fly this year, do you reckon?
I think, Samba trend will still fly. I think it's going to start dropping off, I reckon. Actually, I don't know, because obviously the Euros is this year, so Bloke Corps is going to come back.
It's going to, that, mate, football collaborations is going to, I don't know about Bloke Corps so much, but I know for a fact that there's going to be loads of collaborations, everyone knows, there's going to be loads of collaborations between Euro 2024. We saw it last year with, I'm so dyslexic, I can't pronounce the brand, Arsenal and
Marahishi.
Whatever it's called. Yeah. So dyslexic, it's so annoying. There was a multiple other last year as well. Drama Call did Man United. Yeah, no, Manchester. That is fucking amazing, by the way.
Amazing.
They're fucking sick.
They're another one. Manchester Brands Drama and Clint's, they're both to kill it.
Clint's, they're sick, man. Again, they're a brand that's, I'm sure they're going to see way more success this year.
That's another shoe I think will trend, is like Clint's shoe. Like, he's made his own independent shoe.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think like he's even like kind of replicated another model. It's like his own
man
model.
It's so unique, man. So unique. Again, obviously, again, all the fashion kind of, the TikTokers are rocking that shit. So it's already popping, but I'm sure by the end of 2024, they're going to be on top of the world. What else we got?
I think Nike's going to have a comeback, because obviously I think Adidas kind of took the lead.
Yeah, man, 100%. So, they post-summer, well, probably start spring.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Spring, summer 2023.
Yeah.
All Adidas, man.
All Adidas. Just shows that I think when you get like pump money into market and influence, you can actually just create a trend.
Mate,
same as what Timberland has done.
Is that, yeah? I mean, I don't know how they've done it exactly. If they've done loads of shit,
it was their 50th year anniversary.
Oh, is it?
So I think they just pumped it into loads of people,
see.
And now everyone's wearing.
Yeah, I mean, I like Timberland. I don't have a problem with Timberlands at all. Not really for me. I don't think they're for me. I'll be very surprised if you see me rocking a Timberland boot personally, other than quite if it's for a content review or something. I don't know if I'll be doing that. But again, I like it, man. They're obviously super comfortable. They're really high quality, and it's a high quality trend, which is fine. I don't care. Good, man. Do you know?
Yeah.
What about footwear? Sambas, Gazelles,
Gazelles will come back. Yeah, Gazelles are on the Euros. Yeah. And then I think, like, have you seen the Nike, the Preed, a few of the Sunders, like, you know, the one they did at CDG Sunders?
Yes,
they'll bring them out as like a normal, you know, accessible for everyone.
Yeah, so quite a public release.
Like loads of different colorways, I personally think. And they also just they pre'd another CDG Nike shoe at the moment.
Yeah, I saw that a couple of days ago. I saw white, black, and I don't know, some other colorway. But
yeah, so I think Nike's gonna have a return this year.
Yeah, what do you think about like the sneaker stuff? Because obviously stuff like Jordan 4s, Jordan 1s, I mean, they haven't fallen off a cliff because they're Jordans. They're never going to die. They still turned over billions last year. But in terms of like the actual everyday hype and social media hype, for sure, the cool kids aren't wearing Jordans no more.
They actually aren't. No.
They're not wearing Jordans.
I'm still
anymore.
Wearing Jordan 4s. That's my favorite silhouette.
Really?
But, yeah, I know what you mean. I think I kind of like that though, because then it means you can just then, it's accessible for everyone. But I think, as you say, people just constantly follow what's the most hype shoe. So I think they can bring it back. I think obviously the Jordan 1, Jordan 4 silhouette are just so iconic. I think they just need to do more collaborations. Obviously they've kind of brought the Jordan 3 back a bit with the J Balvin.
That's fucking beautiful shoe. That's beautiful. We sold a couple of them on Kicksource and they absolutely flew. They've got a new, Amam, I always say it wrong. Amam, Jordan 4 leaked as well.
Oh, really?
I think it's like a creamy colorway. Obviously we saw one maybe 2022 we saw it released. I don't even know what color, like kind of like a charcoal gray, like the hoodie, that kind of it's like purpley, isn't it? Like purpley charcoal. So those collaborations are always super popular.
I'm hoping now Pharrell's at Louis V's, sure you've got to do a collab with, obviously he did the Air Force Ones, but I'm sure there's going to be another collab. He's doing the Timberlands, but I'm thinking sure he's going to do another big collab with a brand this year.
Yeah, he will, man. He will. Did you watch much of the Paris Fashion Week?
Yeah, the rodeo stuff.
That was
beautiful.
Cool. That was cool, man. I sat there and I was like, damn, bro, how can people pull that shit off? And it looks good. Because if I did that, I'd look like an absolute fool,
nah,
bro.
I could see you in some cowboy boots.
No, a cowboy, mate. No, bro, I look like a clown.
Mate, we do it. Let me style you one time in like five different styles.
We should do that. That could work, right? That could be a YouTube video. Yeah. You know? We could do a styling, improving Culture Forces style, but
and then you style me as well.
Yeah, I don't know if you want that, but you're right. Probably we'll see some kind of LV collaboration at some point soon. What else
from the Fashion Week? Did you see Kid Super?
No,
he got Ronaldinho.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, I did see that.
I think Kid Super is one of my, I think, favorite designer, because he goes so outside the box. He keeps everything true to his roots. Like, obviously, if you've ever seen him play football, he's sick at football.
Yeah.
And like the way he got Ronaldinho, like he made a piece of clothing, didn't he, with Ronaldinho embroidered in the inside.
Sick.
And then eventually, obviously, he saw it, and then now he's flipping.
He's walking. Yeah, that's so sick, mate. So sick. And then trend-wise, what else footwear-wise?
So I think the other alternatives to Timberlands, I think like the hiking boots is a huge one. like ACG boots. I think Gawk are still going to stay in.
Still going to be popping, yeah.
And I think Tapestry, you know, it's going to be a trend.
Yeah, well, I would hope so, bro. I would hope so. Hopefully, like, you could be leading in that.
Because I think Broken Planet smashed the trend with like the Puff Print last year.
Oh, yeah, those guys are fucking, they just smashed
killing
it.
Killing it. They got D-Block Europe.
Like. Yeah, they smashed it, bro. They're fucking sick, man. I actually emailed the
owner.
Both, because you got Lucas and then the lady who
Indra?
I don't want to pronounce her name terribly wrong and disrespect her, because I want them to come on the podcast at some point, because they're fucking sick, man. They're so cool. They got like these I saw in their stories yesterday, the Broken Planet owners got like these diamond pendants
made of
to celebrate 2 years or whatever, like two three
years.
I think it might be literally be 2 years, mate. To see that amount of growth and success in 2 years is insane.
I know,
like, that is mate, it's unbelievable.
Like, I spoke to Kit Game, the one in Manchester, and apparently like their pop-up was the busiest the Kit Game store has ever been. Like, yeah. So people were queuing up for like a Supreme drop for like 12 hours, yeah, camping out.
It's amazing, man. It's amazing, man. A lot of, it gets a lot of stick, man. I don't like that. Like, anything that's popular gets a lot of stick. Yeah. So like, I see like all like the cool fashion kids always kind of made like the top five. I used to do this, which is like top five worst brands in 2024. I look back at those videos now, bearing in mind, this was like 4 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was. Excuse me. And it was so, so bad, right? I used to do these vids, it was like, just for clickbait and for views, really, isn't it? But yeah, they anything that's kind of popular kind of gets a bit of criticism.
Yeah,
it? Like,
I think
it surpasses the point of being the cool kids don't buy anymore because it's too popular.
Yeah, literally. So like, they'll be at Sambas, isn't it? As soon as too many people wearing them, like, you can't wear them. Sambas are terrible.
The same happened with Represent.
Yeah,
probably Broken Planet again. Represent, another brand that is like on top of the world, mate. Those guys are fucking amazing.
I'm a bit worried about them to represent a little bit, because the owners club stuff, they haven't like made anything new from that, and I'm thinking if that starts going out of trend,
they've got the 24/7
thing,
which is like, because they're obviously fitness obsessed. So that's like their fitness range. In terms of like, I guess speaking about like actual like garments instead of the shoes now, trends for like, I don't know, tops, bottoms, more like garments in 2024, what are we saying?
Yes, yeah, so I think obviously the knits has been huge, I think.
Yes,
like,
knits
like these
popped,
and knit bottoms. I think as well with knits is that you can create such cool designs, you can get different weaves. I think it's like an extra way, I think, to elevate a fit is like different textures in your outfits. And obviously proportions is a huge thing, isn't it? Nowadays, yeah. TikTok, crop everything, everything.
Mate, I don't go outside without cropping now. I get shouted at shit on the street if I don't get seen cropping my Arc'teryx jacket or whatever it is, but... Yeah, that knits are popping, bro.
Knits are popping.
I've got this Supreme kind of, is it woven? Is that you say it?
Woven? Yeah, woven.
Like this, and it's like kind of like a Nan jumper. It's really fucking bad. It's so bad. It's like multiple colors, like green, pink, blue. Yeah, I'll have to show you after. It's so fucking bad. I'll send it to Wade, and you can put it on the edit. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it now. It's the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my life. But yeah, knits are sick, my man.
Knits are sick.
Especially in the UK, because it's fucking freezing until about like June. It's literally from like September to June. It's absolutely baltically cold. So knits are really good. Yeah. What else?
The fleeces. I mean, you've seen them everywhere. You know, the Ninja fleeces.
Yeah.
Like, loads of brands, I feel like, are making them. I think what's good is people are actually getting creative with like the different patterns, the paneling. So I think design is definitely getting way higher now. Like, because obviously to stand out, you need something completely different. I feel like beforehand, it was a lot of just slap a logo on a tee and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Whereas now I feel like you can't just put your logo on a t-shirt anymore.
Yeah, oh, mate, 100%. It's changed. I mean, you just have to look at like the Supreme Box logo, mate. The most iconic, one of the most iconic pieces of fashion, like the most like hype fashion, whatever, like streetwear history. No one really wants a Box logo anymore.
Yeah, did they even resell the recent one?
If they did, it's like 10, 20 quid, man. Other than like maybe the camo one, which is like the remake of the 2002 or whatever it was, camo, but gray on camo hoodie, but... Yeah, they don't pop off anymore. Mm. But so in terms of done trends, let's talk about your kind of favorite fashion inspirations. Obviously, you mentioned a few people of Paris Fashion Week, but in terms of like, I don't know, maybe like creators, not just TikTokers, but like social media people. Is there anyone you look up to who's on, maybe just who's on social media?
Yeah, I'd say, obviously most people in the fashion game, you got to give credit to Kanye West. Like, I feel like I went through that whole Yeezy era, and I think that's what got me into fashion, I'd personally say. The Yeezys, do you know what I mean? The oversized tees, the spray on skinny biker jeans.
The OG Fear of God era as well, like before the essential shit. Like, the, oh my God, bro, that was...
Thumb holes in the tees.
Oh, mate, that was a crazy time to be alive.
But I think that was when fashion was at its best. Like,
It was so fun, mate. Expensive though. A lot less accessible than it is now. It's still obviously ridiculously expensive now. Like everything's expensive now. But I mean, you can definitely, you know, there's loopholes around stuff now. You can get a cheap alternatives. But yeah, the Yeezy era and the kind of OG hype era. When was that? Like 2015?
2015 to 2017, yeah.
That was when it was like 350s were popping. Zebras. Like, when did Zebras release? Now they were quite late, like maybe 2017. Yeah. But they were like Breads. You had the Oreos.
The Turtle Doves.
Turtle Doves.
And then they had the Moon Rocks.
Yeah. Oh, so we're going right at the start. Right at the start. Yeah, I never had any of the proper OGs. I've had the Turtle Doves once, but not like at the time. Bought them afterwards. How much did you ever spend like a stupid amount on 350s? I feel like everyone's gone through a period where they've spent an insane amount of money on Yeezys.
Yeah, actually, I was about the Pirate Black thing. I spent like 350, which back then was... been a lot of money.
A lot. Yeah.
And I actually got scammed for a pair of 350s once.
Really?
But I scammed him back, which is
how did you manage that?
So it was one of them where it's like, it was just, I was a naive kid. It was like, he posted this thing. It was like a reselling page. I had like 30K and it was like, if anyone can guess where I'm from, they can buy a pair of the Pirate Blacks for retail, which is obviously what a stupid thing to believe. I was naive and I was like, went on his page, found a receipt on one of his like things, searched the shop and it said like Nottingham. So I was like, you're from Nottingham, mate. He's like, no way, you got it right. Like, what size have you got? He's like, oh, I've got a UK 10. I was like, that's perfect. He's like, send me the money now, bank transfer. I was like, no, I can only do PayPal. He's like, oh, I don't have PayPal. It has to be bank transfer. And I was just like, oh, that sounds so dodgy. But I was like, I may as well just take the risk. Bought it, went to school. And then literally like lunchtime check. The Instagram page is gone. I think how many people he probably did that same thing to.
Yeah.
Probably like hundreds, maybe thousands. So I put it in like, you know, the basement, the Facebook group.
Yes.
Right. So I said, does anyone know this page? And then someone was like, oh, I know this lad. He's called Callum. Right. So then I asked, I basically couldn't find him on Facebook, but I found a few of his friends. Messaged one of his friends and, oh, I met you on a night through my girlfriend's Facebook saying, oh, I met you on a night out. One of my girlfriend wants Callum's number. Can you give him his number? So then they gave me his number. Searched him online, then found he used to play football for a team. So found his address.
Fuck,
right,
went
on Google Live View and saw his car. Right, so his parents' car. And so I was like, messaging basically saying like, oh, I met you on a night out from my girlfriend's face. Like, and then basically said like, you owe Dom money for his Yeezys. And he was like, I don't know what you're on about. And then he was like, you're lying. Like, I didn't do that. And I was like, your dad's got a nice black Mercedes, hasn't he?
Oh, shit.
You got a red door. And then I was like, send me like £100 extra for like the inconvenience. And he just sent it straight over.
Mate, that's fucking sick. That is so sick.
Good
man.
Win.
Obviously,
good
we're not, that is not how you should deal with your problems. You should seek legal help if you ever come into that type of issue. But that is fucking sick, man.
Yeah, it's good.
Fair play, bro. I respect that.
Good hustle.
That is,
it took a while though.
Hustle,
it took like 3 months, but it was worth it in the end.
Yeah, mate, that's a lot of money. Even like at that age, especially,
yeah.
You would have been if you were still in school, bro.
Yeah,
I never had. What was the retail now? Like 180 or something?
Yeah, 180.
I never had 180 when I was at school, bro. I was broke. Well, not broke, but I just wasn't a rich. I wasn't like a, you know, like kids who sell like sweets and shit.
That was
I was never one of them.
That was me.
You're hustling sweets.
Yeah.
That's where the business has started.
I had employees and everything.
Fucking hell, mate. Mate, that's crazy. Right. Another story that came out this week. This is a little bit away from yourself and me, but Kanye West was back in the news. He went viral again and he took over the front pages because he allegedly got rid of his teeth.
I've seen it, yeah.
What a crazy thing to do. It's interesting, right? It's not as simple as getting rid of his teeth because I think what's actually happened is... Well, I don't know. I actually know if he's actually done it or not. That's the question, right? People are questioning if he's actually removed his teeth because he's, long story short, he went to his dentist, allegedly removed his teeth, which cost him $850K, which is a fuckload of money, obviously.
A lot of money.
And he replaced it with the iconic, replaced his teeth with this denture, which was, or it's either a grill, whatever. And he replaced it with this like Jaws inspired James Bond villain looking thing, right?
Yeah.
Which is like this crazy fucking thing. You'll see on the screen as we're speaking about it now. If you're listening, just imagine if you're on Spotify listening to us or other streaming platforms, of course. Just imagine like this massive aluminium, is that how you say it?
Yeah. Well, titanium.
Obviously. Like massive titanium lump of metal in his mouth, like it's a gum shield.
He's got
an
iPhone in his mouth.
Fucking crazy, man. So the interesting thing about this is that his dentist, right? His dentist actually denied that it ever happened. However, the dental the assistant said it was legit, and someone from his team said it was legit. So I don't know what the fuck it is.
surely can't got rid of his teeth. I think it's like a grill.
I think it's a grill. Yeah. I 100% think it's a grill. I think it's just Kanye marketing, because he's also recorded a 40-minute apology video about all the shit that went down last year and the end of the year before, mm-hmm. I think, as well. And I imagine his new Vultures album, that's or whatever it's called, is probably coming out soon.
What do you think of it? Have you preed it on YouTube?
No, I haven't. I've only listened to the one song. Is he only got, I don't even know.
Someone's leaked the whole album.
Is it?
It's decent, but I think, like, for his age, the stuff he's rapping about, I'm like, bro, you're like 46. And
really? Is a bit, yeah, I haven't listened to any of it. Is it actually fully out?
It's fully out there. I mean, unless he's personally teased it and then he's going to change it from the comments that people have said.
I see.
I mean, they've got someone to leak it, I personally think.
Yeah, I mean, they could have it taken out if they wanted, let's be honest. Like, if they wanted to take it down, they could take it down. But all I've heard is the one song on Spotify, which is the Vultures. I don't know what it is.
I
haven't listened to much of it, but... Oh, mate.
He's just genius at marketing, though.
So we've already spoken about how you're working with Man United, obviously a massive football club. How did you get footballers to wear your brand?
Surprisingly, so the first one, I mean, you may have seen the clip, is like, I shot Rodrigo from Real Madrid. We actually flew to Madrid and went to his house.
How did you do that?
So looking for my mates, Cloverman Remedy, he knows like a guy who's like well-connected, just knows all the footy players. And then basically, this guy gets loads of different brands at once. And obviously you think he makes money from that, and then you turn up to Rodrigo's house, and then they rapidly put him in loads of different brands.
I see.
And then obviously I think he gets a cut of money. It's a genius business model. But so then but I couldn't believe we got to go in his house. Like I through the gate.
So there's loads of people there.
Just like him and his mates, and then obviously the guy we came with, and then I was just there photography, just like camera.
Oh,
and just,
mate, that's next piece, sick, next piece. Man. What was he like?
I couldn't really speak much English, and the problem was it would have been sicker, but the guy who organized it, he came like an hour late, and I feel like he was obviously a bit annoyed.
He had a away
game the next day. I felt like he was probably just like, get this finished.
Just get on with it, mate. Oh, that's
but
annoying.
Mate, to meet Rodrigo.
Oh, man, the biggest well-known footballers in the world at the moment, mate. Yeah,
Brazil superstar.
Crazy, man.
And then, a few other people we've had. I'm an Arsenal fan. Ben White bought the pin. Like, literally, I was in London, I remember, and I just saw the order come through. He bought 5 pieces. And, like, I thought, I can't be Ben White. Search the address, like, about 10-minute drive from the Arsenal training ground. All right. And then I thought, I'm an Arsenal fan. And this was, like, last year when we could have won the league.
Yeah.
That game before City. Threw in a free T-shirt, wrote a note saying, like, please, you have to beat City. And then, obviously, we got spanked.
It didn't go down too well.
But he messaged us on Instagram. He was a follow on Instagram. Dropped us a message saying, like, I love all your stuff. Like,
mate, what the fuck? So he just organically just found you?
Organically
found us. Mate, that is sick, man. That's so cool.
And then the other one, this is sick. We had an order from, like, a random name. And then, I was on holiday at the moment, so was my business partner. So we were basically taking a week later to ship stuff.
Yeah.
And then basically got a DM from a football player. He's a striker. He's in the Premier League. He scored this weekend, if you watched it. He scored a free kick.
Tony.
Yeah, Ivan Tony.
Yeah.
So we got a DM from Ivan Tony being like, where's my order, bro?
No way, bro. He's chasing.
I was going to put a joke like, I bet you put the wrong address, like, and put the betting cap. I was like, nah, I can't do that.
Oh, fuck, bro. Oh, my God, bro. You did. Oh, my God. That took me a minute to clock, but that would have been bad.
And then we've had a few, like, recently, like, Leeds players, Plymouth, like, a lot of championship players, because they get it ordered to the training ground, so obviously they don't want to see their address.
Yeah. So how have they found your shit, man? Is it just because the footballers have started rocking it?
Should be the ads, I think. I think maybe, like, we run a lot of, like, obviously, paid social, TikTok ads, Facebook ads. But, yeah, I don't know how they found it, but I really want to get, when someone shoots, like, the footballers and walk into the training ground. Or to the before game fits.
Like Spurs do it on their TikTok. I see them do it all the time.
So I need to get a footy player in one.
Oh, mate, that's sick, man. That's so cool. Fuck, I'm so jealous. Not like I have a clothing brand to do that, really, but that's sick.
But like a video in the new year I want to do is like IDM'd 100 football players to try and wear my brand.
That's good.
And like the aim would be to like try and meet one in person. And give
that could definitely work, man.
It's going to work.
Have you seen any pictures of anyone rocking it yet?
No. The maddest one was, did you see that Brazilian rapper?
No.
He's like Travis Scott of Brazil. Like,
really?
Has like 9 million on Instagram. He performed in front of like a 10,000 people crowd wearing this.
Oh, so he's big.
Like big, but like obviously, but no one in Brazil is going to buy really from the UK. But like, if it's basically like their Travis Scott. He's like the biggest rapper in Brazil. Like, it's collab with like Rich the Kid, like other American
big,
rappers.
Big, yeah.
And like, he performed in this. Like, and someone's got a drone video of him before. Oh.
Have we got that vid? Can we get
I've got
that? Oh, mate, we'll send it over. We can whack it in here for sure. That's crazy, man. That's so much, like, like eyes on your brand. Yeah. I think the amount of people would have seen that guy rocking it and be like, damn, that's a cool sweatshirt, bro.
And
that's
I think sick. About how amazed that kid, because the kid in Brazil designed it. So he just got cool. DMs from like random people saying like, that rapper's wearing your piece of clothing.
Damn, mate. That must have been a really good moment for you, mate. Like sat back and being like, how many followers has he got on like, Insta and shit?
So the
rapper?
9.6 million, I think.
Fuck. Damn,
like, he's huge.
Damn. Mate, that's unbelievable. Is he the most famous person who's ever rocked something you've kind of sold?
Yeah, definitely. Most famous person. But this year, I want to aim to get, I want to try and collab, to be fair. Because obviously, each episode, we collab with a new person.
You could do a footballer, man.
Footballer or even like a music artist.
A rapper obviously would work so well, but a footballer would be so good. A rapper would be more natural. But there's certain footballers who have really cool aesthetics these days. Yeah. I mean, you look at I don't know, like Rodrigo or other like Real Madrid and French, a lot of French players.
Like Joseph Koundé, the one from Barca. Best, he's better dressed than Bellerin. I've said it.
Really?
He's the best dressed footballer in the
Trevor
world.
Trevor Chalobah as well. He's got some cool shit. There's some really good footballers who have rocked some crazy stuff. Speaking about who is the best dressed footballer?
Yeah, Koundé from Barcelona.
Really?
It used to be Bellerin, because obviously I loved Arsenal as well, but Koundé at the moment. I mean, maybe he's just showing more of his fits. That's probably why.
I think Bellerin definitely paved the way for Not like the football fashion at all, but like definitely for like footballers being more experimental with their outfits and putting that on social media.
Yeah.
Bellerin got a lot of shit initially for doing that. I mean, he's walked for like LV.
Yeah, he walked for LV. The time
that's
of
crazy,
Virgil,
man. That's crazy. And there's loads of other good footballers who wear cool shit. But I think Bellerin definitely had an influence in kind of footballers showcasing that, because there's the Instagram page on Insta, which is like the Football Fits.
Yeah, mate, well, that's what I actually did collab with him the other day. I styled. Borrow a few pieces, you know, for Onana for Everton.
Yeah.
So like you see, they were shooting a magazine cover for Onana at the studio next to mine. So they came down. I like basically put a rail of like all the rare leather jackets, the tapestries, and then basically came and took a few pieces.
That's so cool, mate.
But I wanted to meet him, bro. I was like, I didn't want to just stay around on the shoot. But
yeah. Oh, that's sick, man. Mate,
but he's killing it. Footballer fits, man. Jordan, you're killing it.
Yeah, they're smashing it, bro. Those boys are. I mean, I don't know the face behind or anything, but those boys are obviously doing really, really well. And it's good, man, because footballers, you know, traditionally probably didn't used to rock shit like that. And now you see a bit more to their personal life, which is probably a good and a bad thing. But for me, I think making fashion content about fashion and streetwear is really good to see. And sneakers, obviously, it's sick, man. They've obviously got money, so some of the stuff you see some of these footballers wearing is crazy. What else? This is an interesting one. The one that I ask most of the people who come on this podcast in terms of social media and stuff. Mm-hmm. What advice would you have for someone who is literally wanting to start making content and doing it for a living?
I think obviously finding a niche first. Basically just anything you love, like anything you have an interest and like a passion about. Because obviously I think a lot of the time of content you need to, I mean, you clearly love fashion and streetwear and the pieces. So you have to find something you love. Just make content around that. I think storytelling is huge to learn. If you can tell a story and bring people on the journey, and I think being transparent, which is one of the, I say is your best trait, is like you're so transparent with your content. I feel like a lot of people put on like a fake facade for social media, which can work, but I think in the long run, people will see it out. You don't gain a core audience. And then obviously consistency is a huge one. Like posting every day, just make it like a daily schedule of posting every single day.
What's your favorite platform, social media wise?
Literally, well, YouTube is my love, but that was always my dream, to be a YouTuber. Like KSI was my biggest inspiration. From going to just making videos playing FIFA in his room to now boxing, making music. He can do anything he wants. It's like the dream job.
I think KSI is the same for me, purely because one, what he's done, but two, he was born and bred in my home village.
Nope.
Same village, mate, in Abbots. It was a tiny village, bro, small village. Literally lived, his house was probably his family home. It's weird that I know this, but everyone knew it in Abbots. I'm not like some kind of stalker. But like he used to, his family home was really, really close to mine. He obviously did a video years ago, but like going back to my old family home where he like showed it off, and obviously it was just like going back where I grew up. So sick seeing. So it's not like when people come from rags to riches. It's not like that. I'm not there at all. Like it's a nice area. I'm very lucky to be brought up there. But yeah, it was sick, man, seeing someone like him go into that social media space and like do what he's done from my hometown, like 100 yards away from where I grew up. Like, it's amazing, mate.
And I think another thing with YouTube is like when you realize how long it takes to edit a video and put together a video. That's why you can appreciate the art of YouTube a lot more. I think, like, obviously I understand short form content is the best way to grow, but I feel like long form content is like,
resonate is long term.
You remember every single video, filming it, planning it and editing it.
Yeah, mate, 100%. I do like what TikTok are doing now, increasing length and duration of videos, because I'm in a position now, I want to make longer videos for my audience. Mm-hmm. I make 90 second videos every day. So, that's good. But yeah, YouTube is definitely like that kind of, you want that more heartfelt, I think, experience with the YouTuber, with the creator, whatever. YouTube is definitely the way.
Yeah, it breaks definitely a barrier. I think people feel like YouTubers, like they're friends with them, because you follow their whole life and their whole journey.
And I think with fashion, especially in whatever, like it can be anything, but like fashion and collectibles, Pokemon, I watch a lot of card unboxing and shit like that. That can be really interesting on longer format, because just opening a package on TikTok, you don't really get to say too much all the time.
Yeah.
It's a lot more just like aesthetically quick, pleasing, whatever. But yeah, man, I think the YouTube is where it is. But bro,
honestly, thank you so much,
mate. It's been an absolute pleasure, man. And it's been an honor having someone like yourself who has done so much, doing so much, and will go on to do probably way more than what you've already previously done. So it's been a pleasure, man.
Honestly, thank you so much for having me on.
Literally. All good, mate. All good. Well, everybody, please check out Dom's socials, Payday Vintage, and what is
plug? Episodes Project.
Obviously. Sorry, I was trying to think of your personal one, but we can have it on screen right here. Hype Report drops every Monday, 6 p.m. Big love to everyone who keeps supporting. All the platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever. YouTube, obviously, to watch this beautiful, beautiful set and our lovely faces. Yeah, man. So thank you very much for the support. 6 p.m. every Monday. I'll see you next time.